There is definitely something about laughter. Not only the positive effects it has on your mood and even the physical effects on your body, but laughter as a tool to resolve conflict and even as opposition to what is viewed as an oppressive regime. For many Italians, the Berlusconi era was a dark time. He obviously controlled his own three private networks, but he also, through his majority in Parliament, controlled Rai Television, the three state-run channels. However, those times were the period in which Italy produced some of its best comedy programs. Figures such as Serena Dandini, Corrado Guzzanti, and Sabina Guzzanti ripped into the Berlusconi administration and all his antics. Today I have the pleasure of presenting to you an interview with one of the protagonists of that era, Sim Salis, an Italian now living in the United States who worked in Italian television in the 2000s, who is a comedian and now runs his own podcast, The Sim Show. Sim was kind enough to talk to us on A History of Italy.
Senza prendere o lasciare, senza avere dubbi da affrontare, senza una verità da conquistare, questo è il giusto modo di sbagliare.
Before we start, a word from our sponsor. Now, I am totally rubbish at exercising, mostly because I can't be bothered to get out of the house. So, the great news is, I no longer need to. Indeed, today's episode is presented by Sweat Connected. Sweat Connected is a transformative way to work out. Sweat Connected has a mission to help you feel your best. Each expert instructor brings their signature method directly to you, wherever you are in the world, via Zoom. When you take a Sweat Connected class, you are able to interact with your instructor and the other participants in class just like you would in a studio experience. Whether you have been a group fitness participant for years or are newer, you will feel at home with Sweat Connected. Sweat Connected is exclusively offering our listeners 50%, that's 50, off of their first class by going to sweatconnected.com and using the code POD. That's code POD, P-O-D, at sweatconnected.com for 50% off your first class. Sweat Connected for all levels, all ages, all sizes, and all humans. Okay, so first of all, Sim, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
It's a great pleasure to have you. So first of all, you are an Italian living in the United States. So tell us, what happened there? Why did you get from Italy over to Chicago?
I know, right? I thought Italy's economy was doing so great. Why would I leave? No.
Splendid economy. Always booming.
Right? It's doing fantastic after 2008. I actually, you know, I started when I dropped out of college the first time in Italy, I started to work in comedy, and I, as I was trying different things, YouTube videos, satire, and a little bit of stand-up. I grew up watching stand-up from Lenny Bruce, Woody Allen, George Carlin, and all the weirdly enough, right? First generation to be able to do that via the internet, I guess. And as I was doing that, I was always passionate about comedy, U.S. comedy. So I tried to do some stand-up in English in Italy. And the first time I bombed so bad
oh, no.
that I tried to find something in the US that would teach me to suck less. And Right? Yeah, I still do. But yeah, exactly. But I ended up at the Second City and the IO Theater, which has, are these historical places in the US for comedy where all people from SNL came out from. And I decided to take some classes there. So in 2011, I decided to try that in Chicago at the Second City for a month completely alone. I eventually went back the year after that and then again and again and again and again. And I signed up to finish school, the one that I dropped off in Italy here in the US. And here I am.
Great. Okay. And do you look back on that choice and regret it, or are you quite happy that you made that choice?
I don't regret it at all. Of course, I miss many, many things, especially people in Italy. But I think it was definitely a great moment for me to just take the risk and try to experiment with improvisation at the Second City. And it did change my approach to life, and it did forge a new path that I would have never expected before trying. So I'm pretty satisfied of learning a different culture, learning a different language in a better way, and also taking a stronger choice that brought me to then meet my husband too. You know, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Which was maybe easier in the US as well, because we're a bit far behind in general in Italy with the...
Yeah, you know, you have a great point with that. I felt also that as a gay person, social rights, at least until, you know, the end of the Obama era, were definitely ahead in the United States. And I thought that a place like Chicago allowed me to just leave my normality in a way that is never fully present in Italy. I came out very early. I came out when I was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So that was about the year 2000. And I went to school a 10-minute walk from the Vatican.
Oh, wow. And so, what a contrast. Yeah, right?
Coming out as a 15-year-old kid in basically the most Catholic place on earth. And, you know, in a public school in Rome, it was... great. I had incredibly supportive people, from professors to friends, but also it felt like an uphill battle to just leave a normal relationship, and normal, you know, within air quotes, but just to simply live as a person without having to worry which kind of orientation I had. So definitely the US opened a window in this kind of acceptance that I had not a chance to experience fully in life before. This is not to degrade the fantastic support I'm very lucky from family and friends. It's just, it's more integrated in society, and I have been able to express and live that without feeling a burden, but almost forgotten that it's something that used to make me feel different when I was younger.
Yeah, it must be said that we're doing a decent job in Italy, I think. And this could actually be an interesting... Yeah. We're going off a bit off topic anyway. I think it could be definitely interesting for another interview. But we're doing, I think, a pretty good job in Italy. It's sort of patchwork. Some areas, things are pretty good for LGBTQ rights. Other areas, not so much. It's two steps forward, one step back. I mean, people can have now civil unions, but goodness me, they can't get married. And so, you know, yeah, we got a lot of work to, and also I think, you know, again, before we go back onto the topic, sure, I think it's important, sure, also to underline the fact that this is not people just, you know, absolutely having to push their identity in other people's faces. But in many cases, it's a real physical danger that people are in just because of their identity. And, you know, there's still cases of people being assaulted, harassed, beaten up. And so I don't think, yeah, that's something that doesn't come to the foreground of the debate very often. So
yeah, it's nice to be able to go back to Italy and go through the customs with my husband in the same spot, because we're married and, you know, civil unions are recognized in Italy, so it's not egalitarian marriage. And I'm a little bit sad that there is no discussion about that in Italy anymore,
because, yeah, not even like from the left, which is, you know, traditionally...
I think we still need to push for egalitarian marriage, but it's great to see the progress and this kind of acceptance and evolution. And definitely there is a better chance for teenagers to suffer as much as many did 20, 30, 40 years ago.
definitely. Yeah. All right. A lot of work to do that. A lot of work.
That's a good start, yeah, Mike. That's excellent. A good start.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, let's go back to your experience of work in Italy, because our listeners know that we've recently been living again, once again, living through the Berlusconi era, because on the podcast we did a review of Wondery's excellent podcast, Bunga Bunga. And one of the things which really made a difference in that period was certain programs that you could get on television. Because just a quick reminder, Berlusconi had his own three private channels, Rete 4, Canale 5, Italia 1. And when he became prime minister, mostly the second time around, that meant that his majority in parliament could also control Rai, so the state-run television. Although there was always in the history of Rai Television one of the three channels, which is a bit of the black sheep, which was Rai Tre, which was the third Rai channel.
Yeah.
And you, Sim, you worked in TV, exactly. And you were telling me that you worked, for example, with one of my heroines, one of my heroes, Serena Dandini, who is a presenter and a comedian here in Italy. Yeah. So tell us about that period and that experience, please.
So the period you mentioned, that's actually when I grew up. I grew up when Daniele Lutazzi, who is this then plagiarizer, but at the time famous comedian, had a show on Rai, and he was purged by Berlusconi's minions on public TV. And growing up with that, I also grew up with Serena's programs. How can we describe Serena? Serena is like if Lorne Michaels at SNL was as politically active as Michael Moore.
Oh my goodness.
So it's just, she's this amazing host and producer who always was very vocal against the abuses of the Berlusconi's governments and era. And growing up with her shows called L'Ottavo Nano, Avanzi, People Kennedy Show, I was a super fan, and those were my Italian references, Corrado Guzzanti and all the people that worked with her. So throughout my start, I started making online satirical videos, which gathered a few million views. And those were most satire commenting on Berlusconi's era. And doing that, I started to work at the public radio. These things went so well that eventually I got a call from a historical newspaper called L'Unità, which was the Democratic Party newspaper. I started to work at the satirical insert of this newspaper. Then the public radio happened, also creating satirical songs on a daily political show there, up to the point that I got the chance to work with Serena. I was obviously humbled, because there I got the chance to perform something that was deadpan satirical news from Lercho, kind of the Onion clone for people familiar with the US, but you know, the format is widespread around the world.
Yeah, let's say it's kind of fake news, but intentionally fake news.
Correct. Yeah, satire. So before fake news, fake news for the sake of the news. Before fake news
became a thing,
right, which is a thing. There is fake news websites. That is intentional. That is the way that it's. There is a commentary, and you show the paradox of news so much that sometimes it was confused for real news, but nobody called it fake, and that it was on purpose fake, you know, that's what comedy is. But yeah, so I was working with Lercho, this The Onion style website, and Serena had a show, so I started to host a news report as the anchorman for Lercho with her, and then eventually also ended up on TV. But so that's how it started. And Lercho was this fantastic collective of authors, of which I was lucky enough to be the face of. But really, those jokes were all written by this collective, which was also born out of the need to contrast the political power that at the time was abusing the institutions in Italy. All the collective with Lercho, it's all people that grew up watching her shows. And she's just amazing. She's just one reference figure for me growing up.
Before we move on to the last part of the interview, one more word from our lovely sponsors. So, we'll hopefully be moving soon, and we'll have lots of lovely white blank walls staring back at us. That's why we may need the services of the gallery. This year, we're also all looking for that perfect holiday gift, and today I want to tell you about the gallery. The Gallery Shop is a curated collection of photographs from around the world. All prints are made from 100% recycled aluminum or aluminium, however you want to say it, giving your wall that gallery finish. Right now, for the holiday season, the gallery is exclusively offering our listeners 25% off your next purchase using the code FRIDAY. That's 25% off your next purchase at thegallery.com. That's G-A-L-R-Y, only one L, using the code FRIDAY. The Gallery. Create your perfect space. Today's episode is also presented by good old State Bags. State Bags makes beautiful, well-made, inclusively cool products while using the power of business to give back, to shift the narrative around social injustice. For every State Bag purchased, State hand delivers a backpack packed with essential tools for success to an American child in need. But their commitment goes beyond simply a material donation. State Bags has your back, and part of that commitment is making a difference in local kids' lives. To get you ready for your commute or wherever you're traveling next, State is offering our listeners 15% off their next purchase at statebags.com using the code POD. That's 15% off your next purchase using the code POD at statebags.com. State Bags, they have your back.
Yeah, just a reminder for maybe the listeners who hadn't had a chance to listen to either Bunga Bunga or our review of it. You mentioned Daniele Luttazzi. He was one of the three famous Italian journalists who was, how can we say, exiled from public television by Berlusconi. Obviously, not directly, but Berlusconi declared that he, Michele Santoro, which is another journalist, and Enzo Biagi had made a criminal use of public television and that he should not be accepted. And what do you know, within a year of that, which was called the Bulgarian Edict, because he was in Bulgaria at the time, they were basically excluded from television. So there was a real worry at the time from many areas that Berlusconi, I mean, there wasn't worry. I mean, we didn't believe he'd, you know, suppress elections or that, but he really was trying to control and stifle freedom of information in that period.
Yeah, I grew up with this. I think I was around 12 or 13 when Luttazzi got exiled from public TV. And he was such an... This is a super controversial figure, Daniele Luttazzi. It's super important what it did culturally in Italy to create this vitriol satire and very directly attack Berlusconi and exposing through jokes all the collusion that he had with people he worked with and all his ways to control public media. But at the same time, Luttazzi is... Over 85% of his jokes are documented to be fully stolen by George Carlin, by Lenny Bruce, and I think about 100 US comedians at this point. So it was there was a time of my life when that happened, when I was super sad because, you know, he was my number one hero as a comedian in Italy. And then find out. But that doesn't change it. That doesn't change the importance of his work.
Just the bravery of having on that famous episode when he invited the journalist Marco Travaglio, who wrote the book L'odore dei soldi, so that the stink, the smell of money, which exposed the origin of Berlusconi's wealth. So just that in itself was quite a brave move, which he paid for in the end with part of his career, let's say. So. Okay, so basically, all this talk about, you know, satire and satirical programs allows us to maybe talk about the value of comedy, really. And I think that very often in times that, you know, we perceive as, let's say, dark times, or times in which we feel that our democracy or certain rights, freedom of expression, for example, are on the line, that's also the time that some of the best forces in society come out. And I don't know if you share that idea, Sim, and if you see that in some of the experiences you've had with Lerch, or also on an international level with Onion or so on.
Yeah, I think so. I think that those initiatives, or the most productive comedy shows, or, you know, it can be on TV, on radio, those function a little bit as antibodies to this sort of oppression and power. They allow us to release tension socially, but they also allow us to take a good perspective on something that might seem dark or negative. John Waters, which is not necessarily a straight up comedian, but he used to say that you want to make your enemy laugh. It's better to find a common point to laugh, or to initiate a conversation, a discourse, or to hold a mirror up to society, in the same way that we're going very high here, but we're talking about people that did it actually. So with Lenny Bruce, you literally hold a mirror up to society. Lenny Bruce was this comedian in the 60s, one of the really first, very first stand-up comedians, who used words that were perceived as dirty, as prurigenous, as talked openly about sexual references, openly defended homosexuals too, both on TV. And, you know, he was arrested countless times for being obscene on stage. And at some point, when these things become very public, they start to show what is our reaction to simple, honest talk, simple truths. Or if we laugh about something, it's just like, well, what are we really doing? And I think that laughter is definitely a better way to do it than anger when possible. There is a time to get angry, but there is also a time to reflect through laughter.
It's interesting that you were saying, sorry, Sim, getting your enemy to laugh, because I recently listened to an interview also with another Lenny Henry, who said he managed to get people to stop beating him up as a child when they figured out he was the funny one. And so he could strike back, not with violence, but with humor. And also, incidentally, Lenny Bruce, for Bob Dylan fans, is actually the object of a Bob Dylan song as well.
Yeah, you know, I think that there is all the divisiveness that I see. I'm not a super fan of that, because this kind of radicalization and polarization of the discourse doesn't bring to anything. And we end up, it might be almost cliche, but I do hate that we focus more on smokescreen differences instead of the core of similarities that we have among different groups of people. And that's why I'm also not a super fan of groups, because the moment you create group, you create separation and division, which can be something that celebrates the differences or the peculiarities of a specific group, but isolation usually means that it's hard to come together as people and peoples.
And also to communicate as well.
Right. And that's what usually comedy does. And you know, when you see any comedian up on stage, the audience that is there, the laughter to me is like a unison sound. And it's the moment of collective realization, of a collective consciousness. I know I'm making this very metaphorical or higher than it might seem, but it is that. When the comedian makes a joke on stage, and especially one, you have different kinds of jokes, right? You have the one that you laugh at the expenses of somebody else, or you might laugh at yourself, or as the behavior of something that is recognized as a social behavior, a mass behavior. When there is something pointed that out, George Carlin has this beautiful routine called, it was about all the little things, like when you, I don't want to destroy it, so I'm just going to paraphrase it. But when you look at the watch to see what time it is, and then you turn your wrist and you still don't know what time it is. Or when you go down the stairs and there is one less step, but you don't see it. So you're just like if there is more stairs, you're about to fall. when you look at a fence and you look in a weird way, so the fence becomes 3D and comes towards you, that kind of thing. Those are all common human experiences, and those might be small and silly, but we also do it with our bias. So if we're strong enough to look at that and laugh at it, the laughter literally becomes a collective consciousness laughter and observation in the mirror for our faults and our wins too at the same time. So a super fan of that, of comedy as a mirror of what is already happening in society. I'm not sure that comedy can point at the future, but I'm sure they can reflect as a mirror our present. And having an objective view, especially through a laughter and releasing that kind of tension that creates division among all of us, it's always helpful.
Now, that's a really great consideration, Sim, because indeed, you know, when you see somebody laughing, that is a basic common human experience. I mean, everybody laughs. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps in that moment, we can be reminded that we are dealing with another human being and not some kind of demon who is, you know, hell bent on destroying our way of life or whatever we may believe. So yeah, I really like those considerations. Thank you for those.
John Waters, that I was mentioning earlier, says that, you know, even with your political enemies, it's better to make them laugh because that's the first step to changing their minds. And it doesn't have to change the same that is for you, but just to change it, to do something like that. So his strategy with his super outrageous movies is to mortally embarrass their, you know, the enemy with words and not with violence.
And do you see films, for example, like Borat as doing something like that, or is that going a bit too far in your opinion?
I don't, you know, I haven't watched the latest Borat, and I do appreciate the eternal, like, never breaking the character, and I'm a big fan of Sacha Baron Cohen. I think is one of those geniuses in the same way that like Andy Kaufman did. Those people that play with the structural and social norm to show you how absurd it is. And I don't think comedy can be too offensive. I think you can be a jerk, but I don't think that the comedic intent should be limited, or it's too much usually. It's very rare to reach that limit. I'm only get angry when you pick a minority or somebody who does not deserve a free joke at their expense. And that includes, you know, any kind of physical shape or form. But I think that Sacha Baron Cohen exposes, like Andy Kaufman, some paradoxes in our society. It's not his fault. Like, you know, he's more of an active observer than a person pursuing something negative.
And speaking of groups and divisions and so on, how is the experience of being an Italian in the USA? Obviously, it's very different from the old times, Ellis Island and the Italians coming in and stealing jobs. What is the situation now? I mean, I suppose also in Chicago, it's very different from rural America, but what's your experience?
Right.
Un italiano in gli Stati Uniti.
Okay. I think compared to the Ellis Island period, we Italian Americans now suffer from good stereotypes.
Right?
You will literally come here, right? Which is great. I mean, to be honest, I'll take the good stereotypes all the time. The first thing that happens when you're like, oh my God, I'm from Italy. It's so beautiful. So there is this romantic, the food is amazing. Like it's this fantastic thing that, what do people think of you? They think that you eat fantastic food.
Which is true.
And you enjoy your time, which is true. To be honest, it's true. At first, I was just like, well, no, I love junk food. Trust me, I can eat bad pizza. But no, it is true. So you live with that. You live with a good stereotype, which is great because it's, you know, just imagine not coming from a place where people have a great opinion of. And it's just like, I'm super lucky. But at the same time, there are stereotypes. And you definitely have to deal a little bit with the food ones and the wine and the place. And it's like Italy is this picture that comes out of La Dolce Vita for many people, which is not a political truth as we have been talking up until now, or the economical one either, but it's great. It feels great to just live with a good stereotype And Herring to extend to be like, yes, indeed, you do come from a place that has great food.
Good. That's good to know. Yeah. Is that it then? Just the food or artwork or?
Right. Yeah, you can pick your thing. I don't know. I don't know about your experience because your English sounds fantastic to me, but definitely having an Italian accent is not that bad.
Cool.
It definitely works in bars.
Awesome.
And it's pretty good. I remember when I first started school here, the first person I was talking to during an international students meeting was this guy from Lebanon, and we were chatting for a bit. Then somebody else comes and was like, "Oh, hi, where are you from?" And like, "I'm from Italy." "Oh my god, Italy! My cousin went to Florence and a bunch of things." And then they moved to him, and as they are about to ask, like, "Where are you from?" His face is just like, "Ah, fuck, no, I gotta." It's just like, "Where are you from?" "Lebanon." And the person who just spent 5 minutes about smiling and talking about Italy had absolutely nothing to say. I'm like,
it is a bit of a shame. You have sort of elitist immigration and non-elitist immigration.
Right. So, I think it's definitely like a huge difference from what it used to be when there were signs that did not want any Italians.
Yeah, no Irish, no Italians, no dogs bar. Kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. It's you know, definitely light years from that. Now we stereotypes have been overturned and Italians became white people overnight with a magic wand. And now you definitely get a good get a good time most of the time.
Awesome, great. Okay, good to know then. So Sim, as well as your past experience in comedy, etc., where can our listeners come and have a look at your stuff? I mean, I know you have your own podcast that you would if you can tell us something about that, but also if there's something else you'd like to tell us about that we can go and look up online, or maybe if somebody in your local area can catch you somewhere.
Sure. When there is no pandemic, yes, you might in the local theaters in Chicago. But right now, I do have a website called sim.show, and that's literally the website. There is no .com. It's like sim.show. I have a newsletter there. I curate a small list of thoughtful and meaningful links and resources around the web that are far from the noise of social media. There is a little bit of a commentary, and you could find anything in that. You might find a thought-provoking podcast interview in that newsletter. You might find a link to a map that shows you the true size of countries in the world compared to each other if you take away the perspective of the globe itself. You might find digital privacy tips. And I do have a podcast. The podcast is simply called The Sim Show, just like the website. You can find it on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, where I have no bullshit interviews, if you pardon my French.
It is part of the
And thank you. I do have guests from Pixar, Google, or from Everyday Life that share their story and wisdom to give you some practical advice about life, work, personal relationships. So if you like to think while also relaxing and have a real conversation, talking about real stuff and listening to that, you can just look for sim.show, both on your favorite podcast platform or visiting the website now and finding the newsletter.
Yeah, and I want to add my recommendation there, because since we've been in touch, I've been listening to a couple of those and they're really enjoyable and really, we're just really thoughtful exchanges there. So, Sim, thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. And I hope best of luck for everything. And I do hope that we both our countries, whether you consider your country the United States or Italy or a bit of both, do make our way out of this dark period and brighter days in 2021.
Thank you, Mike. Same to you, my pleasure.
Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed that interview that caps off our analysis of the Berlusconi era and Wondery's Bunga Bunga podcast. Thanks again to Sim for coming on the show, and be sure to check out his podcast. Thanks very, very much to everyone for listening. Thanks in particular to my lovely Patreon supporters. Starting with the second half of the Margarita Hack and Galileo Galilei level, Marxist-Leninist Sicilian, Mike M., Neville, Paradise, Patricia Kappa, Renee B, Roberta D, Rodney N, the Question Master, Rudy F, Sam, Scott L, Shelby, and Stephen, and the Tippy Top Super Level, Maria Montessori and Dante Alighieri, Paolo, Lisa K, JW, Andrew M, Brandon S, Maxime, David A, Peter W, and Sen. Thank you, one and all. Remember, you can get in touch. Hello at ahistoryofitaly.com to ask some questions, say hello, or make some unusual consideration. At the same URL, you can click through to our social media and become a patron and have access to extra content if you so wish. Once again, thanks very much to everyone for listening, and until next time, arrivederci.